My lesson today is the next to the last lesson in the Sermon on the Mount. And we're in chapter 7, Matthew, verses 13 through 20. Now, a group of nine people set out on a quest, and it was against a powerful evil that was looking to take over. And as they go on the journey, trials come up along the way, and the further they go, the trials become more intense and more numerous. And so as they go on the journey, one of the members said, "Faithless is he who says farewell when the road darkens." And it was because of that attitude that they were successful in their journey. And some of you know what I'm referencing. It was a movie from about 15, 16, 17 years ago that Matthew just loved, and we watched it quite often. But faithless is he who says farewell when the road darkens. And without that way of thinking, well, they would have failed. And the same is true for us. And there have been times in my life and probably times in yours when we said farewell when the road had darkened. The question is, will we allow that to continue, or will we decide to get the courage? As we sing the song all the time, we will follow Jesus and stay with him until we are at his side in a place that's reserved for us if we choose. And tonight, like I said, we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 20. And up to this point, Jesus has given expectations for us. He laid before us the righteousness of the kingdom, what we're supposed to strive for, what we're supposed to work for. Because without a righteousness that surpasses the righteousness of the Pharisees and scribes, we will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus tells us the things that we need to cling to, his teachings and his guidelines. But we get to the section in Matthew chapter 7 and 13, verse 13 and 14, and now he's done teaching. He's done saying, this is what's expected of you. Now he says, it's your decision. The time has come for you to choose. Matthew 7, 13, 14 says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." You know, several times throughout this sermon, Jesus has contrasted the righteousness of the kingdom and the righteousness of the Pharisees. Here the choice is, which way are we going to go? Are we going to walk with those found in the kingdom? Or are we going to walk with everybody else? Everybody else is lumped together. It doesn't matter what they're doing, because either you're in the kingdom, walking the narrow way, or you're not. And you're walking on the broad way. And when you look at the way that Jesus lays his choice out before us, he gives us three contrasts. One is that there are two ways. It's a broad and wide way and a very narrow way. And there are two crowds. The crowd that has many and the crowd that has few. And there are two consequences. Destruction with the broad way and life with the narrow way. And that's the decision before us. Which way will we choose? One way is easy, and the other is difficult. And one way is long, and the other is short. One is broad, and one is narrow. And if you look throughout the Sermon on the Mount, you can see who is walking on each path, and you can judge for yourself which path that you're on. You know, as Jesus in the Beatitudes gives us the characteristics of those found in the kingdom, he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." And you can imagine they'll be on the narrow way, but the prideful and arrogant, they'd be on the broad way. When he says, "Blessed are those who mourn," people who realize how far they are away from being right before God, "Blessed are those who mourn," well, they'd be on the narrow way. Those who are satisfied in their sinful state, they'd be on the broad way. Jesus says, "Blessed are the meek." They'd be on the narrow way. the strong and mighty, those who flaunt their strength and might, well, they'd be on the broad way. Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, the narrow way. Those who hunger and thirst for carnal things, the broad way. And I think you see the pattern. The point is, you can look throughout the entire sermon and find what Jesus has laid out for us and say, yes, if I want to be on the narrow way leading to life, I've got to do what Jesus has said, but if I don't, you can take the exact opposite of what Jesus has given, and that will define the people on the broad way leading to destruction. So we have a choice. And while Jesus may be done teaching, he's not done trying to guide us. He's not finished trying to help us, because in the very next verse, verse 15, after he says, you have a choice, he says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. The last time we saw Jesus use the word beware was in chapter 6, verse 1, and he was talking about how we need to beware within. We need to be cautious of ourselves, you know, our attitude, our heart, and what we do. And he talked about giving and praying and fasting. He says, beware of yourself in chapter 6. Now he's saying, after you make your decision to be aware of those around you and be cautious, because you're looking to choose the path to walk, and there are going to be those who want to lead you astray. That's what false teachers do. And we need to understand that there are also those who can lead us astray that don't even intend to. But Jesus says, beware of false teachers. And there's something special about this false doctrine, because it can be appealing to us. They come to us in a way that we can look at them and you know, we can feel safe, and we can even feel like they're one of us. He says they'll come in sheep's clothing, but really they're just a pack of wolves. So we have to be cautious and beware. What does it mean that they will come to us in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are wolves? It means they're going to come to us disguising their bad qualities. They'll make covetousness look like love, or they'll make pride look like care. They'll disguise their own attitudes and qualities so you'll think they're just like you and trying to follow Jesus. But really, they're doing nothing more than leading you down the broad way, which leads to destruction. There are people who pervert the gospel. People who are afraid to live by the gospel would even fall into this category. If you go to Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, it lists a few people. It says the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And what leads this list, it's interesting that the cowardly and the unbelieving lead this list. It's not always somebody who just blatantly rejects Jesus. You ever find yourself in a position where maybe Jesus expects something of you and you're sort of scared to meet that expectation? Maybe you're intimidated by the consequences that you'll face here on earth. You know, he tells the rich man that comes to him, he says, Lord, good teacher, what must I do to be saved? I kept all these commandments from my youth. What do I need to do, and what am I lacking? And Jesus told him to sell all that he had and to give to the poor. And that man walked away very sad. I would say that he falls into that category of the cowardly and unbelievers. He was afraid to give up all that he had in his life because he didn't believe in doing so that he would inherit all there is to come after this life. The cowardly and unbelieving, all liars, false teachers who pervert the gospel, those who are afraid to live by the gospel, those who have an entirely different gospel, we see them pop up throughout the scriptures. And in the Sermon on the Mount, who would be the false teachers, or at least who would fall into that category? And maybe not in everything that they taught, but the Pharisees would certainly fall into this category of false teachers. You know, people who were charged with the spiritual care of the nation, they were failing at that job, and they were choosing to walk in their own ways rather than God's ways. And inward, they were like ravenous wolves. Even though, as Jesus goes throughout his sermon, he points out several times, and throughout his ministry, he points out several times that the Pharisees were people who looked righteous. They looked holy. If you saw a Pharisee out in public, they would be addressed as rabbi or in a way that people revered them. They looked like holy teachers from the outside, but on the inside, they were false teachers. And that's the kind of teacher that Jesus says to beware of. And Paul talks about this in Acts chapter 20, verses 29 through 31, where he says, "For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears." Paul gives the same warning. Not only are there going to be these wolves that come up from the outside the church, but Paul even says from among yourselves. And that may be the most dangerous because we don't want to believe that members of the church could lead us astray. But it happened in the day of Jesus and in the days of Paul, and it happens today. So we have to beware as we make the choice on which path to walk on. And let's say you make it in finding the narrow way. You know, it's a long and difficult path, and as you're walking along the path, you don't know everything that's going to come in front of you. You don't have an answer for everything that's going to come in the future. And so what do we naturally do? We look for people to help us. You know, we look for guides. If you've ever been hiking on a trail, I don't know about you, but I at least want to know where the trail is going. So you look at a drawing or a map, or you talk to somebody that's been on the trail who can tell me, hey, this is where the trail is going to turn, or here's where it's going to get steep, or here's where it's going to come out. That way I know where I'm going to end up. And it's the same thing when we're trying to walk the narrow path. We want to know where to go next, and so we naturally look for guides. But Jesus says, beware, because if you're on the narrow path, there will be people from without and from within who try to lead you astray. Jesus didn't spend all his time talking about the righteousness of the kingdom just to throw us out to the wolves without warning. In the Sermon on the Mount, he gave us guidelines and teachings that we must follow. And he makes it clear that it's not the only difficult thing about the walk, what we have to do in order to be righteous. Difficulties come from others around us. And in this case, it's those who want to lead us astray. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, Peter says, "But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words." You know, it's a lot like the illustration at the beginning of the lesson. We're out on a journey, and as we go, trials are going to come, and some are going to be intense. And sometimes there will be many, and we have to be ready, and we also have to expect them. We have to be on guard for them so that way, when we're faced with a false teacher, we're not caught off guard, so we don't turn and veer from the narrow path to go on the broad path. We have two choices, so we have to be very careful not to fall prey to the ravenous wolves. And so false teachers that come in sheep's clothing, What are we supposed to do about that? Jesus talks about that in the very next set of verses. He says they're going to come in disguise, and this is how you tell them apart, starting in verse 16. He says, "You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into a fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them." False teachers come in disguise, so we'll have this. We'll know them by their fruits. You might not be able to tell them apart by their appearance, but you can tell by their actions, know who's going to lead you astray and who is not. Jesus is telling us to figure out who they are by their intentions and by their actions, by what they do and what fruit they produce. By their fruit, we will know them. You know, we can tell a grape from a banana, but what does that look like in terms of a false prophet? One who twists the scriptures or takes scripture out of context or leaves certain scripture out. You know, John 3:16 and Romans 10:17, they look at these one or two verses and they base an entire gospel on that. We have to look at and judge a teacher, that this person who's trying to lead me, to see if what they do and say lines up with what I can see in the Bible. We will know them by their fruits. And finally, God gives us the keys to figuring out their nature. Romans chapter 16, 17 and 18. Chapter 16, verse 17 and 18. He says, "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple." Well, that's the lesson. We never end a lesson without first offering the invitation. If you've heard the word and you've believed it, you can come forward, repent of your sins, confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and be baptized, that's fully immersed, and be added to his number. But if you've already taken those steps, but you've sinned publicly, you can come forward, repent, and have a prayer on your behalf as we stand and sing the invitation song.